Welcome to the Performance Health Podcast. My name is Tim Caron. Today we got Coach Ron Inserta on from Oak Fit in Dallas, Texas. This is an amazing episode. I am so fired up on how this came out. This whole entire season is going to be dedicated to strength and conditioning coaches trying to enhance their career in strength and conditioning. We're going to talk to coaches from the public and the private sector about all the ways we should be thinking about diversifying our income, diversifying our portfolio so we have more options in our career. If you like what you're hearing, please like, subscribe, and share. It's going to make a huge difference towards the algorithm and just that whole process of making sure this is the best in class product that you could possibly listen to and occupy your space and time. Thank you, guys. Let's talk to Coach Ron Inserta. Unlock your potential as a strength coach with the Foundations course. Are you ready to take your coaching to the next level? The Foundations course isn't just another checklist or to-do list. It's a transformative journey that focuses on key models and skills that make great strength coaches. It will help you develop into the best version of yourself. In this course, you'll dive deep into essential concepts such as what do you want? Why do you want that? How are you going to get that? We're going to develop the motivation to develop the skills that are prerequisite to getting what you want. We're going to maintain motivation through practice. We're going to master communication. We're going to work on application through developing a coaching business and a 1-5 and a 10-year plan. This course is designed to be specific to your needs. You'll learn at your own pace, diving into what matters to you. Each lesson is paired with an interactive workbook and a corresponding module. You'll get a copy of the Foundations workbook and a copy of How to Become a Strength Coach to make a deeper understanding of the lessons we're going through. Why choose the Foundations course? Develop a personalized coaching strategy that's tailored to you, your wants, and your needs. Build the skills and knowledge needed to become the strength coach you know you can be. Map out a clear 1, 5, and 10-year plan to stay on track for long-term success. Receive hands-on resources to help integrate learning into your coaching practice. The best coaches aren't born. They're made through consistent learning and development. This is your opportunity to become the coach that you know you always could be. Start your journey today by purchasing the Foundations course. All right, everybody, we are so fortunate. We got Ron from Oak Fit. Ron, give me a second to introduce yourself, get a little bit of background and where you're at today.
Yeah, man, I'm out here in Dallas. Strength and conditioning is the general topic, but I would say really we focus on strength, we focus on speed. And then conditioning is a byproduct of those two things.
And then what's your background in terms of like strength conditioning? How did you get into it?
I got into it through personal training. I first signed up at a gym when I was about 18, put it on a credit card, couldn't afford it. So I just let that credit card stack up until I figured out financial stuff later. I just ran the front desk, wiping down mirrors, checking people in, cleaning toilets, opening 5 a.m., closing 9 p.m. And then that kind of segued into where I'm at today. Obviously, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of in-betweens, but I started from the commercial side of things.
Now, that's my first question. And in that introductory period in terms of strength conditioning, personal training, what were some of the lessons you learned in that more commercial box gym environment? Now it's going into you being a business owner yourself.
The critical things that I look back on today are the things, you know, I just mentioned. Everything from checking people in, right? A service with a smile. We're a relatively intense program, and that's a tough barrier to get into. Obviously, most of our clients are athletes, so they know exactly what they're getting into. And we really don't do general population anymore. But back to my point, the service, making sure everybody feels good, feels comfortable coming in, communication, everything from the greeting, but also making sure that the customer understands where they're going. And that's something that our coaches, we go on a daily, weekly basis. Are we communicating effectively? And then the other things, wiping down the mirrors, cleaning the toilets, taking out the trash, those things have to be priority. If you don't have a clean facility, you're not going to have the premium clients that you're going for. And that's really our demographic. We've got very high level athletes that come from pretty high level backgrounds. I would say at least 60-65% of our clientele come from kind of private school sector. And so they come with high expectations. That's what our team talks about on a daily basis, customer service and ultimately culture.
Walk me through, you're in a beautiful location, and I'm sure this was a work in progress. the output is so easy to get lost in the, wow, okay, Ron's so lucky. But there was a lot of buildup to this moment in building the facility. And there's probably some pretty big gut checks because you had a facility in downtown that was working with more general populations. So walk us through that experience of working with more general population group exercise to classify it as a pretty good pivot to working exclusively with athletes now.
Yeah. So I started Oak Fit back in 2014, completely grassroots by the pure definition. I was still personal training at the time. I was independent, so I was paying rent to a gym, but Oak Fit was really just it was an idea. And so the city that I had just moved to, it's called Oak Cliff. And so that's where the name Oak Fit comes from. And so the whole name and why I chose that, CrossFit was really popular at the time. But I knew that there were problems with that business model or problems with that training model. You know, so I started the company in 2014, but for several years prior to that, I was already personal training. And so my transition came from, hey, how can I get more volume of people? And the town that I just moved to, Oak Cliff, all they had was a YMCA and an Anytime Fitness, and then a couple kind of raggedy. And so I knew that I wanted to come in and create something that was clean, but also bridge the gap to that type of model, which was very familiar to people. Whether people liked it or whether people didn't like it, people knew about it. People knew the name. And so Oak Fit kind of captured some identity. And from there, I didn't even have a building yet. I started all my workouts outdoor. There's a huge Trinity Lebby. It was just an ideal location. I didn't have equipment. I literally put out flyers, started an Instagram, started the Facebook, and just put out flyers at all the small businesses that I could about, hey, we're doing this free boot camp and bring your water, bring your towel, bring your own yoga mat, and we're going to get after it. I think the first workout ever might have had 10 people, and it was all people that I knew. And so they came and supported. The second workout, we might have had 15. And really by like workout number 5, 6, and 7, we'd already had close to 20, 25 people every workout. And so then I started adding days because this is only one day a week. I started adding days. And again, everything's outside. And so I wasn't billing, I wasn't doing anything. And then finally it got to a point to where, okay, let's get a location. I put a location, I got a lease under my name. And then from there we started moving. Yeah.
So you're rolling into a physical location and I'm assuming you're coaching every class and doing everything by yourself. Walk us through that experience.
Yeah. Every class in the morning, every class in the night. It was pretty interesting how it built it up. I think that's important when you're starting a business is you have to get people to understand who you are and what you want to do. For me, I knew who I was. I knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't know exactly how I was going to do it. And so a lot of it was just off the hip and based on how the flow of the people that were coming in. I didn't have some special business model. I didn't have this long-term super structured program. It was all based on, okay, this is how it's going and this is what I want the people to get out of it. And for me, it was more about the mental side of it more than just the muscle side of it. Since I didn't have equipment, I really had to be creative with what we were doing with body weight training and what we were doing for conditioning stuff. But I anchored it with mental resilience. And looking back on it, my whole thing was rain or shine, hot or cold, like we're going to do this. The only reason that we would ever cancel was lightning. And people grew to love that. The first 100 people that ever became customers were non-athletes. And so I think they really gravitated towards the mental side of what I was bringing to the table and helping them grow.
Now, as you transition to a physical space and you're coaching every class and you've got your core group, the early adopters, obviously leads to some sort of expansion from there. And I'm sure things are going great in this location. Was there, and I know this kind of part is where you started getting into some courses, some seminars, improving your craft. At what point did you feel like, all right, I'm ready to make a pivot to more athlete-centric type of training or correct me if I'm wrong, but a more of a semi-private type of model?
That's where I came from. I came from the private and more or less semi-private. But prior to starting the company, I'd already started to transition into semi-private for another company that I was renting at. And so I'd already explored going into a small group type of training model. And so that's where Oak Fit really stemmed from. But I was already from the NSCA, USAW, and I was maybe a couple years into PICP program at that point. And so blending everything together is where I created the programming model for the large group that we were doing in the early days of Oak Fit. So it was already in transition before I had started. I had already been working with NHL, PGA, NFL athletes, triathlon, endurance athletes. I'd already been working with those, with that clientele prior. The early days of Oak Fit, the strength and conditioning program for a large group, was really where the bridge the gap style came from, if that makes sense.
Yeah. This is a paradox of sorts, because you're essentially growing Oak Fit, becoming a business, right? And you have high volume of customers, but you're carving out a niche with maybe some professional athletes and some higher ticket potential clients. What point do you have to, how do you evaluate when's the decision to double down on you being the vertical versus I just got to keep growing this and build out scalable models for this Oak Fit? Or is there like a right, is there one?
There's not a right answer, man.
Yeah.
To be honest, since 2014, like in those early years, man, I worked 25 hours a day. You know what I'm saying? Like I worked all day. We took the building in August 1st of 2014. And from August 1st until pretty much January, I slept at the gym 6 out of 7 nights. Yeah, I slept at the gym. Yeah, I did everything there. Fortunately, we already had a little kitchenette, a little bar system that was already there. And so while we were doing construction, we kept that. And that was the final thing that we reconstructed. So I would cook up there, and it was a big open space. So like the food didn't bother anybody. But no, man, I lived there. That was my life, and it was everything. And for people that are trying to get in to the business, I think that needs to be understood, because there's no immediate profitability in startup, at least not from my perspective. I put in the sweat work. I still do today. Obviously, like my staff holds the business together. I give them 1,000% of the credit. These days, I might show up to work super early, which we open at 5:30. Yeah, I might show up 3 or 4 days a week, but I don't need to be here. I want to be here to support them. But I've got 3 kids. Like I've got my family, and eventually my staff, like they'll do the same. They'll have the same evolution, and I want that for them. But all of my staff also know that this is full-time.
Yeah.
And it's full-time plus. Like what you mentioned earlier about my personal aspirations for my staff in terms of what I want them to achieve. In order to reach that, hey man, I need your help. I need you to be all in.
You mentioned something to me when we met a couple months back about, we often confuse high volume with high profitability. I don't know if you recall saying this to me, but that it made a pretty significant impact on me, because I think oftentimes we confuse being busy with being profitable. The more I'm doing this, the more I'm realizing that they're actually mutually exclusive in a lot of ways. But with that being said, can you elaborate more on this, the illusion with being super, super busy with a ton of clients coming through, it's not going to be a guarantee of being profitable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. There's busyness and there's productivity, right? And then there's productivity and profitability. In the early days of Oak Fit, I was busy, very busy, but I didn't make a lot of profit. And we were also very popular. We were very well known, and we were very well liked. I had community events. We were doing stuff for the neighborhood. We were doing stuff for different organizations. In a given week, we would have several hundred people rolling through our doors. But it wasn't really profitable. We paid the bills. We made it along, but with that, I also had plenty of staff, but they're all part-time staff, and it was scattered. And so as busy as we were, me as the owner, I'm suffering. I was still working so many hours. I was still so stressed out trying to micromanage everybody. And it never got me to the financial place that I needed to be. And earlier we were talking about like self-worth. I knew what I was worth. I knew what I was bringing to the table. Proof is in the pudding. Look at the background, look at the history, and look at everything, all the impact that we were bringing to not just our customers, but our community. But in reality, there was no way that I could sustain that for the period any longer than I did. I wish I had a better explanation, but in 2020 is where things really turned around. I sold my original model to a partner. I moved out of the building. I kept the brand name, and we just moved down the street. And this is where the creativity came in. There was another gym down the street that was doing or trying to do similar stuff that we were doing, but they could never get off the ground. And so I met with the owner of that gym and negotiated a term that allowed us to have some space. I came in with the working capital I invested and made our own space where he didn't have to spend any money. I outfitted everything and we continued our operation. But what happened in 2020, something that not even Wharton Business School could have put into a business model, right? And so that was a really tough time. I think for the way that I rolled out my plan, we did really well. But what happened when I reopened the gym really hit me personally. When I reopened the gym in May, revenue was awesome. But I reopened and I had a 50 to 60% drop off in memberships. And it was all based on subjective opinions of me opening my business again. And how do you fight that? You can't. And so I just had to eat it. June, July, August, I'm just suffering. Fortunately, I maintained enough clients to still pay the bills and still pay my staff. I think I only had one or two staff members at that point. But now I had to figure out, okay, what am I going to do? And basically all this time, I'm just thinking, okay, I need to go back to my roots. Towards the end of that year and the early 2021, I was interviewing a guy that I ended up hiring, and that guy is today, he's my right-hand man. I give him all the credit in the world for helping the business to where it's at today. But when I hired him, again, I told him exactly what I've already said. Hey man, this is a full-time plus job. If you're going to come on, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. And so with that being said, I told him, look, we're going to go after an athlete model. We're going to do it in a semi-private program setting, but every single client is going to have an individual program. And this is going to allow us to get to the price model that we'll be able to create a sustainable revenue that will give us long-term success. And that's where things got really interesting.
Unlock your coaching potential with a coaching membership. Are you ready to take your coaching game to the next level? With coaching membership, you'll get exclusive access to web shows, a deep dive into strength conditioning topics from me and top-level strength conditioning professionals, program reviews, myself and other strength coaches breaking down programs for you to practically apply high-level programming. You'll get lectures from me from various conferences I've done over the course of my career that you'll have always available to you. And then you'll have access to our private forum where you can ask questions and dive deeper into topics that you know you want to talk about. Whether you're a seasoned vet or just starting, the coaching membership has everything you need to succeed in strength conditioning. Why join the coaching membership? You get access to a full library of information from myself and other high-level strength coaches. There is over 40 hours plus of videos that you're gonna get access to from those web shows, program reviews, lectures. You get access to the highest level information in strength conditioning in a community of coaches that are second to none. If you sign up today, you get access to the most advanced strength conditioning content on the internet.
So I'm sure at this point it was this is a feeling of I made a big wholesale decision to leave the current place, which probably felt safe and warm, but you realize it wasn't very sustainable. And then you just get it's almost a gift that you had this massive exodus off of subjective criteria where you almost have to recalibrate by necessity. And you're like, all right, scorched earth, we're building anew and we're going to start with this new model. while you're in the peak of your high volume original outfit, were you building out the plan in your mind of going individualized, higher price point, less overall customers, or was it a reaction to that massive exodus that happened when you opened up your new spot?
It was reactionary. Yeah, to the second location.
Yeah.
Or to the second spot, not second location.
Wow.
Yeah, it was purely a pivot point after the whole COVID stuff and reopening. This is a whole other conversation, but in that first location, I had one business partner and, you know, that it didn't work out, which is why, you know, I sold my partnership. I gave it to him. And there was problems within that partnership that I just made a decision to stop being creative, if that makes sense. And so that model that I had originally created, I basically maintained it enough to where I could package it and sell it. And that was my exit point. When I exited and started the second location or second spot, that was going to be my holding period. Okay, let me get in here. Let me get into a holding pattern and figure it out. And then, like I said, the whole COVID thing happened. And then it was like, okay, what do I do? So the decision came after the big exodus is what you call it. But I knew that the clientele that were leaving for subjective reasons based upon me reopening, I knew that clientele was not going to be supportive of how I wanted to move forward in the future. It was going to be too hard to try to manage things that were personal opinion based and had nothing to do with me executing a very safe environment in my business. Because you're a strength coach. Where do you rank safety in your day-to-day operation?
Number one.
So for the fact that I got canceled, if you want to call it that, I got canceled because of subjective safety-related opinions. It's, hold on. The moment I wake up, I'm thinking about safety. Like, this is... And yeah, from there, it was pretty pure. Look, the people that want to train here, they're gonna train here. I don't need to worry about these other people that are worried about being 8 feet away from somebody wearing a mask and a squat rack and all that stuff. It was too much of a distraction.
So there's an adage that I heard that I really resonated with, but like 10% of your clientele will pay 10x what they're currently paying. I think this is something that all of us, what is your value, maybe through the posture-like syndrome, especially for the coaches that come from the team sector where we're institutionalized and we get what we get, we don't get upset, but it's the fear of asking for what we're worth. How do you work through that process as you're starting to evaluate your price point? And I know you had a model where you opened up your current location and you're tiering it. We're going to get a certain bracket that are paying this amount and then we're going to raise our prices. But, you know, I'm sure when you went from that more moderate priced, high volume approach to, all right, we just essentially eliminated the subjective criteria folks that were going to eliminate themselves anyway. They're always just looking for a reason to remove themselves from the situation. Yeah, a gift, if you really go back, but then look at the core group that stayed with you of, in order for this to work, we got to charge more, but the value is going to be way more. How do you cross that like mental block of charging more?
Man, I wish I had a better answer. I really didn't even think about it. What it came down to was, what is the market? What is the market for the price point that I want to ask for? And so whether you're in Dallas or Boston or Los Angeles, like there's a market rate for your service or your product. And then there's a top 5% of that. And then there's a bottom 60% of that. Which one do you want to be in? And so for me, evaluating a price was never like, oh, how much am I worth? It was more, what is the market? And then from there, it was, okay, how do we get into the market? And then how do we create the value to the customer to where they don't question what we're the price point that we're asking? And that's really what it comes down to today. So we have a pipeline in our sales. Everybody comes in on a one-on-one assessment. And that assessment is pretty in-depth. We go over everything head to toe, left to inside to out. We want to get to know you. And we're very upfront when people are booking that assessment that, hey, we're going to charge you a lot of money for this. But when you come into the assessment, we want you to understand that this is a consultation. So you can ask whatever questions you want. Whether you decide to sign up, that's up to you. but we're charging you for a consultation. And that's how we treat it. But we're also, within that assessment, we're looking at criteria that allows us to formulate a plan. And so towards the end of that consultation, now the customer is walking away with, okay, this guy answered all my questions and he formulated his own solution to the problems that I came with. You know what? Let's sign up.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Thank you for that. I got one more question here, and hopefully this kind of lands a lot of it for everyone. And one thing that I thought was really interesting from our conversation, and it's been interesting because I've been able to talk to some really cool coaches, and some have tremendous followings on social media, and then others are just like, yeah, it is what it is. I feel like a lot of your strategy is organic and word of mouth. The right folks are going to find you. How important is that filtration process to getting into that concentration? And where do you feel is the best driver of that to get people in the door?
The best driver is our customer. It's no surprise. My personal social media is terrible. My business, OakFit, social media, yeah, we have fun with it. Love showing highlight reels of our kids. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I've got three kids of my own, and I do anything and everything for them. And 95% of our customers are student athletes from fifth grade all the way through collegiate. I love bragging about it. These are my kids. And so for me, my business is not, I don't think about my business. I think about my kids. I think about how are they growing? How are they developing? How are these kids treating my staff? Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Thank you. Like all these things. Are we developing good humans? And then you know what? Videos, highlights, we'll do their sports highlights. We'll reshare their team achievements. We'll share their personal achievements, but I don't even think about my business from that standpoint. We don't have this overwhelming social media presence, but I think it's the authenticity that we bring to the table. The parents, they love dropping their kids off. And they also know that this, we care about them. This sounds really bad to say as a business owner, but like, I don't overstress about profitability because we're doing good. And if we keep doing good things and focusing on customer service and culture, everything's going to take care of itself. I think young coaches especially worry too much about money and how much money they're making. And, oh, I train all these kids and I bring all these kids to the business. It's, yeah, but the business has stuff to pay for. I think too many, again, this sounds terrible, but too many business owners and too many new coaches, they stress too much about money. If you're doing the right things, the money will come. And the money will come sustainably. If you're worried about money and you want to make so much money right here, right now, that's fine. That's not the wrong thing. A lot of people have that, but that's, I became successful. And so it's not really within my belief system. I believe in even hard work. I believe in effort. I believe in integrity and just doing those right things.
Yeah. It's, I can totally empathize with the fact that there's just so much that you get pressure to grow social media following and be something that's inauthentic in a lot of ways. I'm not saying that the people who have a massive following are maybe a facade or a version of themselves, but there is a lot of external drivers of that. And truth of the matter is, it really just falls down to doing a good job, treating people with respect, working really hard, and the stuff will work itself out. And that goes for like a young coach that's struggling with I'm maybe not making a whole lot of money right now, but I'm working on my craft and I'm trying to push myself to be a better version of myself. And one thing that's always going to be true, the universe will never, ever deny this, is good will always make money in any capacity. You're going to be coveted. You're going to be sought after. You're going to be someone that really is a valuable asset no matter where you are. And the undeniable truth is that's off the pretense that you're good at what you do. And you got to work at that. It's not, it's the beautiful thing about strength conditioning coaching is there's no such thing as like a natural savant or talent in this. It's all about the effort you put in and getting your reps and getting on the floor and making an impact. And you know, that's just effort over time and taking good feedback and try to grow every single day. That's the message I think is hopefully resonating with a lot of strength coaches out there of the, don't force yourself to be something that you know you're not or you don't want to be. You know, just be authentically yourself and work really hard. Ron, this is awesome, man. This is a really cool conversation. And I think there's like, for me, selfishly speaking, and all this, it's the opportunity to get to talk to you and hear your story and hear just the, there's so many ways to be successful, but there's also a way to do it in a way, in a fashion that doesn't feel like it's compromising or sacrificing. You mentioned you had three kids, and I think that's a part as a business owner. You could easily neglect them and how much burnout rate is or divorce rate is or abandonment of your kids. And there's a simple solution, just involve them in the process and make your life their life and vice versa.
Yeah. And I've set up my entire business that way. So not to make it any longer, but just to shorten it up, we only operate 42 hours a week right now. And we're, my profitability is I'm very happy with, but we only operate 42 hours a week on the gym floor, which means my staff is only here on the floor 42 hours a week. I personally manage on the front end the whole work-life balance. I do that for them. Everybody here is full-time. Everybody here has 3K. They've got access to health options. They've got access to a financial planner. I want that for them. I want them to be taken care of. I mentioned one of my guys that my first one that I moved down here, and he was my real startup on my new evolution of the business. He just bought his first house down here. That's an incredible feeling.
Yeah.
But you mentioned about coaches, credentials, and blah, blah, blah. I've got another full-time coach who is only 20 years old. She's still in college, but she started with me as a client. So I hired her directly out of high school, not because she was an expert. I hired her because she works hard. And I could trust her. You know what I mean? And from there, she's been with me in total. She's almost at 4 years. I just took her to USAW. She's gone to Kilo to go see Stefan and that team down there. She's done PICP, the online courses. I'm providing all of this for her. And at 20 years old, she's already got her 401k. These are things that in our industry are pretty unheard of. But that's what I want for my people. Like I said, I don't think about my business. I think about my kids. I think all the student athletes here, they're like my own kids. And same with my staff. Like I want to take care of them. And ultimately that was a decision and how I wanted to operate the business. That's where I put my foot down. Those are things that I learned from the beginning of OakFit, from 2014 to 2000, really up into the end of 2019. Those are the things that I was not thinking about. I had a lot of external pressure from a partner, and it made me think about things about the business and profitability and all of these things that didn't make me happy. And it also didn't make all my part-time employees, like they didn't have any buy-in because we were focusing on the wrong things. Now I focus on the people. And that's the number one thing.
That's awesome, Mark. I don't think there's a better way to close this off. Thank you so much for the time. It's going to be an awesome episode.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Awesome.